everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear, The Walking Dead, Season 3, Episode 3, entitled Teowaki. It's written by Ryan Scott, who's worked on Revenge, as well as Graceland, and directed by Deborah Chow, who has already worked on Fear in the past. Gary, what are your overall thoughts, besides what you thought that initial night when you watched it Sunday?
It was a decent episode. I enjoyed it.
I would say the same. It was good. I mean, even when we're doing our dislikes, I don't really have that many dislikes. And I noticed most of the time I don't have that many dislikes. So I don't know what it is the show is not doing or is doing, but it's never to the point of where after the show comes off, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait until next week.
It has been.
Rarely. And not, it didn't happen this week. Like I said, nothing happened that I didn't like necessarily. It's just still not pulling me in like a Game of Thrones or Leftovers or something where you just can't wait until the next week when it ends. And this one was good. I want to see what's going on with Daniel, but it's still not pulling me in.
I have to disagree. I'm loving this show. It's pulling me in. I can't wait to the next episode so I can see what happens with Daniel, see what happened with Travis coming back.
Travis ain't coming back. There's a possibility Chris may, but Travis is done.
You know, you predicted Daniel. Right now, I'm going to say Travis is not dead.
Man, my Daniel, I had reasons of predicting Daniel. It was like, because it never for sure showed him die. And I know you're saying the same thing about Travis, but Travis is dead. Now, Chris, on the other hand, there's a 50-50 chance that Chris may come back season 4. You never know.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see if Mr. Clean get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Strand, let's see what's going on with Strand.
Mr. Clean, how long he's going to be locked up.
Right. All right, well, let's have it. The way the podcast works, if it's your first time listening, is we do our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters, and then an award and prediction. Surprisingly, we don't have any listener letters this week again. So I know Fear is not as popular as Walking Dead, but we would still love to hear from you guys. Dead@theverdictsinn.com or on Twitter @theverdictsinn or facebook.com/verdictsinn. Shoot us an email or a quick text or tweet or whatever and just say, hey, this is what I thought, or if it's this show sucks. Let us know what you're thinking. We want to hear from you guys just so we can get some other opinions besides our own. So we're going to go ahead and start off with the likes. Jeremiah's survival video. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was a big like.
And that did get me excited. I don't know if I want to mention it now or later. Actually, I think I have it written down later on my likes, so I'll wait for it. But just like that initial video, I like seeing it.
You mean the intro?
Yeah, like the intro.
Yeah.
And seeing the, because, well, we saw different parts of the video. We saw the video in the intro, and then later on I have some further thoughts with Madison watching it.
Yeah.
All right, Alicia, when the girl invited Alicia to, like, fake Bible study, and Alicia's like, we're Jewish, I thought that was funny, because she's, like, clearly trying to get out of it, and even saying that we're Jewish, the girl's like, what did she say? We'll do the Old Testament then?
Yeah, see that? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We'll do the Old Testament.
Yeah, I like that, and it was kind of like, nope, you're not getting out of it.
Right.
And who would know that even in the apocalypse, you still have to, like, go to events you don't want to go to. And, you know, it's hard to say no to people even then.
I mean, the apocalypse is a big event you don't want to be at anyway.
Right.
So you don't want to be there.
And it's not like you have to say, you can say, I have work tomorrow morning. You can't even
say, you can. Like, you can't say that.
Maybe.
Like, you have certain chores. You try to do certain things around the community. Maybe you have a job there. You had to have breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
Or help wash the clothes, something. There's always something you could think of.
Yeah, but it's not like at like a regular day. Like, okay, can I be at work at 8? Or if I'm late, I'm going to be written up, you know? It's not that same. Like, you can't get out of stuff in the apocalypse like you can today.
You know, if I'm late again, they kick me outside the gates.
Yeah.
I have to fend for myself.
All right, Luciana's saying that she can't forgive what they did and she wants to leave. Once again, I like this mainly because Nick said it last week, even though he's maybe going in a different direction. We don't know yet. But I'm glad that they're sticking with this. Like, these people did some horrible shit. If you remember, Luciana and Nick were with, like, 50 people. And if they're the only two left out of that 50 people were killed for no reason because Troy was crazy.
You're right. they actually opened fire on them.
They opened fire. And you remember, there were women and children there. So it's like, what happened to these kids? And you guys killed these people. So yeah, I would even feel safe there for the time being. And I don't know why she's still handcuffed. Like, she's talking. She seems perfectly fine. So I don't know why they still have her handcuffed or whatever. But maybe it's for safety precaution. But still, I agree with her when she said that. I'm ready to go. Sorry. I don't care if we have shelter here. We just can't stay here.
You would never be safe there.
Right. Not with Troy.
Not with any of them. Because Troy wasn't the only one.
You're right.
And they keep saying, I think James keeps saying, like, when the rest of the people find out who you are or what you are.
Right, Jake.
Jake, I'm sorry. And the thing is, there was a good 50 people. There was a good 50 people at the base. They know what he is.
Right.
They know what he's capable of. These people came back also.
I was going to say, I think a lot of them know, because even when Alicia's hanging out with the kids later on, they're like, about that little head, I forgot what they named it, but they're like, Troy took the rest of its body. So like, ew, how was Troy killing this, did he kill this person, or did he kill the zombie? He must have killed the zombie, but still, I'm assuming they have to know that Troy is just a little bit dangerous. Now, Madison, when Troy came into the room, like, just weirdly sleeping in their bed, I liked it, though, when Madison, when Troy was leaving, she's like, Troy, that bed was made this morning.
Right.
Like, you don't...
She had to do that. Let her know, show her, so she had to. So that way, she knew that if she buckled down under one thing, he's going to continuously come back and do that same crazy stuff again. You know, next thing you know, he's going to be in her bed.
Right. It's already weird.
He's going to be on a top bunk.
Okay. So this one was more of your like. I don't know if, or maybe I just didn't like it because I didn't agree with it. But Madison pretty much telling Nick that Travis dying was on him. Like, you know, don't be an asshole. Don't leave because we did all this. Travis even died to get you out of here or to find you.
I know you didn't like it because you thought it was rude or maybe inconsiderate, but she told the truth, and it's about time she did.
But see, my thing is, why? Like, it's not Nick's fault. It's not like Nick got lost and he got separated from the group. Nick purposely walked away from them. So her going after Nick and having Travis, yes, and Alicia go after Nick, that was her decision.
Well, it's both their faults. Because if he wouldn't have left, she wouldn't have had to find him. And she would define him to make sure he was safe or to keep him safe with the family.
Yeah, but if he leaves again, then what? Because I think she even said, like...
She said she'd let him go.
Yeah, but we've heard that before. So we'll see. I kind of want to see what's going to happen with... Because we know Luciana or whatever, she wants to go.
Yeah. But I think she had to show him tough love. And let him know that I'm tired of playing your game. We played your game this far, and look where it's got us.
All right. Next on the likes list, Madison telling Jeremiah about his son and what happened at the depot. I really like that. Like, once again, they're being, you know, we've kind of talked about in The Walking Dead and just other TV shows in general. Sometimes we're like, why don't they tell each other what happened? No one's talking to each other. No one says, like, even last season when Chris was going to kill Madison and Alicia in their sleep or whatever, I don't think they told Travis right away or whatever. I can't recall.
Yeah, Maddie told him.
Okay. Well, it's just something that happens a lot in TV shows. And her telling Jeremiah, like, you know what? If Jake didn't come when he did, we would have been dead because Troy would have killed us. Like, he was crazy. He was killing people for no reason. And I just liked her being very blunt about what went down at the depot.
Right.
Alicia is smoking and drinking with the young people. I liked it only because she was just being carefree and it was definitely not what she expected. And it was just good to see the young kids just doing what young kids do.
Right. And we already know she's a smoker. We found that out the first episode.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Her and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's like she's in high school all over again. Just having fun, just carefree. Although on the Instacast, I said I like the head in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about it, I don't like it because I'm pretty sure that it killed a buzz a little bit. Like, you're trying to, you know, you're smoking and drinking to forget where you're at.
Right.
And it's like every time, you know, or while you're trying to relax, you keep looking at this head to remind you, nope, we still hear reality. This is reality right here.
I thought the same thing because it looked like when the girl went up to it, it looked like she sprayed something. I'm like, what the hell did she spray on it? And we're like, well, maybe she sprayed like refresher on it so it wouldn't stick.
Deodorizer or something.
Yeah, but either way, yeah, you're right. If you're smoking and drinking, you can't enjoy your high or whatever, or your drunkenness, because you have to be like paying attention. Like, man, is there any way this head could get out and roll? Like,
not only that, I mean, yeah, that's true also, but not only that. You keep looking at the head and it's a constant reminder that you're in a zombie apocalypse.
Right. No, that's true.
That shit is still weird on the outside. That, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're right here in Oz.
I agree. All right. So with the tapes, we get a little bit more backstory. We find out that Troy's mom was an alcoholic, and it sounded like maybe Jeremiah was too, which I didn't get that from the video. Like when Madison was watching it, she's like, oh yeah, she's drunk. But I thought she just didn't want to take those videos no more.
Well, you know, she was sweating, talking about she was hot, and he told her. He said, oh, what, you going to go get boozed up or something like that?
Oh, okay.
Or you had to go get your potent. He said something to let you know that she was an alcoholic.
Okay. But I think there's some deeper meaning. I think the truth is in the tapes. And he mentioned that Troy tended to his mom's side at the end. And I just wonder, Troy being Troy, the good son, if Troy didn't kill his mom. And maybe that's why he's trying to find some type of weird mom replacement in Madison. Like, you see how weirdly obsessed he is with her since pretty much the beginning. He's been kind of obsessed with Madison.
Right.
And Madison kind of resembles his mom. I mean, she had blonde hair too, so it might be some weird obsession thing there.
That's a good observation. You may be right.
Alicia telling the group what it was like on the outside, it kind of reminds me of when Carl, you know, first came in and he met his little friends at Alexandra. He's telling them how hard it is on the outside. And I like that she told him the hardest thing she's done so far is kill a man. And when they asked her, well, they asked her, was it hard? And she's like, actually, it felt easy. And I don't think she meant that his life didn't matter. She just meant that, like, when you're on the outside, you're going to do some things to survive that you normally wouldn't do.
I think she meant what she said. I think she meant it was easy. That, you know, when you think of killing somebody, you think, you know, or you think, oh, I could never kill a person. You know, I may feel this way. I may have nightmares after, or I can't picture, you know, how it'd be with their blood on my hands.
Right.
But she's saying she actually did it, and it's nothing like she thought it would be. It was actually easy. And, you know, a lot of people feel that way after deaths. Like when someone in your family that's close to you die, you feel like, you know, life is too short. Life, you could just walk outside and die. You know, death is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad they added that in there, added a scene of her saying that it was easy.
Well, I hope this doesn't mean that they're turning her to a dark character. Because to me, it doesn't seem like it'd be like you were just saying, it wouldn't be easy to kill someone. And I cannot imagine ever doing it.
Right.
But you're saying maybe if the apocalypse came, it would be easy.
I'm saying that once it was done, she realized, like, wow, that was easy. Okay. I don't feel the remorse, or I don't feel anything like how I thought I'd feel. Because she probably said the same thing. You know, I could never kill somebody. This is never. And you saw her emotions afterwards.
Right.
She's like, you know, I can't believe I did that. And probably as the days went on, she probably like, you know what? I don't really feel bad about it.
Right. I mean, don't her turn into Killer Chris.
I don't think she's going to turn to Killer Chris. I don't think anybody could turn to Killer Chris. Killer Chris was already crazy. He was crazy. You know, we overlooked a lot of things when the season first started. Like when he got off the bus just to be in the middle of the riot with the camera recording. You know, he did a lot of dangerous shit. Chris had issues beforehand.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I remember he picked up Daniel's razor. And Daniel's like, you don't need that. And he put it down. I mean, that, like, I might be looking into everything now that he did, and it may be nothing, but
it was something.
Yeah.
Killer Chris was always Killer Chris.
All right, so we had Strand's storyline that was going on as well. And the man getting eaten alive that they threw down, like, and there's all those walkers. I thought that scene was really cool, seeing all the walkers piled up on each other, but they're still alive. And I don't know if they just can't get up. Like, why are they laying? Are they walkers with broken legs and they can't walk? Is that why they're not getting up and walking around?
Probably.
Instead of just laying on the pile?
Probably got their eggs eaten. What did I say? Eggs
eaten? Eggs, yeah.
I mean, legs. Legs.
I was like, what the hell is eggs? Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a possibility.
You're over there thinking, like, eggs.
But that guy's death was pretty badass. Like, I liked it.
And he's probably one of the zombies now.
Yeah. And if his legs broke, or eggs, he's not able to get up to kill, you know, to walk around. The underground supply that Jeremiah showed to Madison. I mean, we know that he's a survivalist and everything like that, but that was pretty impressive.
It was.
Which makes me think they're not going to be here long. Because anytime something is that good in this universe, it doesn't last. Like, they have too much good shit there. Like, too much supplies that they could, that would be good to stay there forever. But either it's going to get, you know, a herd of walkers, or it's going to catch gunfire, which I think Troy and Jake are going to end up being at odds, like, really at odds. And something's going to go down.
I agree.
And then Madison, after she had volunteered towards the end of the episode, she goes and she sits and has lunch with Troy and even puts a little napkin on his lap rather than sitting with her children.
She probably feels the same way you do about he's trying to replace her mother. I mean, his mother.
Yeah.
That's why he put so much focus on Maddie. She, you know, it's a game to her right now. She already told her kids, like, yeah, we got to play these people. We got to fit in. So Maddie is doing whatever she has to do to fit in so she don't have to go anywhere, so she can stay safe.
I agree. And I also think she's doing it all as well to protect her children, like literally from Troy. Like, if I'm sitting next to Troy and he's stuck by my side, he can't be hurting my kids because he's with me. And I,
that's a possibility. You know,
to keep your friends close but your enemies closer type of thing. And then finally on our list of likes is Daniel coming back. You know, I already bragged a little bit on social media as well as on our Instacast, but I will say that it was a nice, pleasant non-surprise to see him.
I would say it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
Because you said it so much that when I finally seen him, it was like, ugh.
Spoiler. It was like a spoiler without knowing it was a spoiler. Me saying that Chris may come back could be considered a spoiler too.
Well, if you keep saying it.
All right. Dislikes. This is going to be a quick episode. Dante threatening Strand. I didn't really care for that, only because it's like, why'd you sit here, have a drink with him, everything else? And this, the whole Dante thing, like, dude, you have this suit and tie on, you have a freaking gold watch on, like, it's the apocalypse. I see if it was like day one in the apocalypse, it's like months in advance, like months past. So what are you still dressing like that for?
I think this storyline was forced. It was forced to bring Daniel back into the mix. Dante didn't have any reason to resist Strand.
Yeah.
They weren't business partners, but Strand said, we made a lot of money together. I never betrayed you. So it didn't make sense for Dante to say, I'm going to do you like you did the rest of the people. You don't feel like them. I'm like, motherfucker, you was doing the same thing he was doing.
Right. Y'all were both thieves and con artists.
Right. So like I said, that storyline was kind of forced. I think they did it for the shock and awe value. Like, okay, Dante's going to show Strand high. For what? But for what? We don't know why.
Right.
I mean, we know Dante's not a saint now. He's not a priest. He's still doing the same thing he was doing before. Now he's counting people, you know, taking their stuff to get water.
Right, right.
Which didn't make any sense. You know, this dude taking jewelry for water.
Right. Yeah, but then the guy threw away Strand's watch. And I'm like, what? You were just taking bullshit from the person before him. Like, okay. All right. Nick laughing like the Joker. I kind of mentioned it in Instacast. Like, but as he tore the pages out of Troy's journal. And I kind of liked it when he said, you're not a scientist. But him laughing like the Joker, I just was not feeling this scene. Like, and then it's like you just had a gun to him. Now you're turning your back, ripping out pages of a journal. How do you know he wasn't going to shoot you? You know he's crazy. I just didn't like it.
I don't feel the same way you feel about that scene. It wasn't my favorite scene, But it wasn't a bad scene at all.
And they better not try to make them friends.
It made a lot of sense.
Okay. We'll see where they stand next week. Because if Nick... Because, like, Nick didn't say anything. But the guy, Troy, was like, I guess we're friends now. And I'm thinking, no, there's no way. Especially with Luciana. Yeah, right. It's not going to happen. So we'll see where that goes.
I mean, a lot of these things have been forced. I don't like the way Strand's storyline has been forced since episode one. You know, since they think you're a doctor, we got to get rid of you. That didn't make any sense.
I was reading an article the other day, or just recap on The Walking Dead, and that's one of the biggest things they talked about. They're like, hold on. We left season two with Strand staying at the hotel, and I guess the writers decided to do a switcheroo this season, so they made some bogus reason to make him leave the hotel just to get him back with Madison and them. Like, I think they should have never... Strand should have just went with Madison and then. Like, that's who he at least knew them somewhat. Or they should have kept him at the hotel and he just not be in the story anymore or something.
I agree. I think they should have kept him at the hotel. And if they want to introduce Dante or bring Daniel back, maybe Daniel should have been one of the people that walked up to the hotel.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a lot better than what they're doing now. This four scenarios. These scenarios that don't make any sense whatsoever.
I do like that. Like, if Daniel would have came to the hotel after Madison and left, and then he would have saw Strand, and he could have been like, I'm looking for my daughter. She hasn't came here, and da-da-da. And then they're like, Strand, you need to leave. You're causing trouble. Then him and Daniel would have been able to leave, and that would have just been a new storyline with him and Daniel looking for Ophelia with Madison and her family. It could have still been two storylines that would have at least made sense rather than this Dante character that all of a sudden hates Strand for no reason.
And I think that's what made season two so good. They had some great storylines. Everybody had a good storyline.
Except for Nick.
Well, Nick's storyline wasn't bad. It wasn't our favorite.
Yeah.
But everybody had a good one. And this season, it's like they're trying to force a storyline to where it don't make any sense to bring a new character in. You know, you get rid of one character, and now you bring a new one in. And it's really not making any sense to me.
I agree. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. It's only episode 3. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess they just can't stick with just one storyline. Like the Maddie storyline, the Madison and her family.
Well, I like when there's several storylines going on. But although the Strand part, whenever it kept showing Strand, I'm like, oh, this just feels so weird. It doesn't fit into
I like when there's a lot of storylines also. But I'm saying that they knew they couldn't just stick with that one storyline.
Oh, okay, okay. So
they forced another one.
Right.
And it just don't make any sense. It didn't. I think they killed off their best storylines with Travis and Chris
last season.
And I guess they tried to get, you know, they heard all the talk about, oh, well, it's not as good as The Walking Dead. And they wanted to, you know, just hit us hard with something that they just ruined everything.
Right.
Well, I don't want to say ruined everything because it's still a good show and we're still learning a lot about the apocalypse, but they just jacked up their best storyline.
I really like Travis and Chris.
Yeah, we could have ran with Killer Chris for a while.
Right.
Killer Chris could have been the villain this season.
Yeah, I agree. He could have been like Merle or whatever from The Walking Dead. Merle was a villain. I mean, he was gone for a while, but he was there for a little bit too.
Right. So. Yeah, I like Merle, but a little better.
You like Merle better than Chris?
No, I said he would have been like Merle.
Oh, but
like
better.
The villain,
yeah.
But better.
Right.
And instead of killing Travis off, I want to see Travis go to the dark side with Chris.
Father, son, a villain.
You know what, son? I realize I'm crazy, too.
Let's just do this. Yeah. All right, well, that is it for our likes and dislikes. Once again, we'd love to hear from you, dead@theverdictsin.com, facebook.com/verdictsin, or twitter@theverdictsin. And, of course, check out our website, theverdictsin.com, where you can find all of our other podcasts, such as Ballers, that's on HBO, Game of Thrones, that's on HBO, Atlanta, that came on FX. It's good enough to just rewatch over and over again until the new season comes on. We did 2 seasons of Wayward Pines, The Night Of, on HBO. Just check all of our stuff. We did a lot of podcasts.
We have a lot of stuff.
Empire.
Orange is New Black.
We did 1 season, Orange is New Black.
Season 2 3.
Seasons. Only season three.
Oh, we recapped one or two.
I think we did.
Yeah, we did
a recap. Yeah, I think we did something like that. That's all I can think of right now, but I'm pretty sure there's more that we done. Criminal Minds. Not Criminal Minds. Criminal something. American Crime.
American Crime.
Oh, and American Crime OJ.
OJ, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. All right, let's go for our most likely to die in I Ain't Fearing Shit. I Ain't Fearing Shit. This episode, who do you got?
Oh, you started off.
All right, I Ain't Fearing Shit. I'm going to say Alicia. And once again, there's a thin line between not fearing shit and being stupid. But Alicia, like, going down with those kids.
Oh, yeah, that was bold.
Going first down. Yeah. I don't know. It was pretty bold. It was like, damn, girl, what are you thinking? So I'll give it to her this week.
All right. I mean, I don't know.
I know. None of them did anything. But
I probably had to give it to Maddie. Because she stayed in everybody's face trying to remind them of what Troy did. That's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Where you trying to tell this man about his son.
Right.
Because although you know his son is crazy, that's still his son.
No, you're right.
And then making Troy make his own bed up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's probably a better pick. All right. Most likely to die. I'm going to say Jeremiah. Like, because Jake this episode was like, you know, one day it's just going to be me and you running this place. So I have a feeling that as soon as Jeremiah dies, that's when Troy is going to be like, okay, all I need to do now is kill my brother so I can run this place like how I really want to run it and start doing my experiments again.
I agree with you.
So, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
All right, that's all we got. I know this was a short one. As always, though, we appreciate you listening. Until next week, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Peace.